This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demarest, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. So I just did a webinar yesterday with Elite Worldwide. So special thanks to Hannah and Matt for having us on there. And what we were talking about there was how to plan for taxes, and almost more importantly, when to plan for taxes. Like a lot of stuff, I said to myself, this is probably a really good idea for everyone to talk about. So that's exactly what we're going to talk about this week. On that webinar, and I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to go and watch the recording, we talk about similar things here and get into a couple other aspects of this. But the main reason that I want to talk about this is how you plan for taxes should be different depending on what time of the year it is. And I thought that that was a really cool thing to talk to shop owners of. How you are planning right now should be different than how you're planning in the fall and the winter on it, and maybe give you guys some feedback to say, is your tax plan adequate and adequate for where you stand in this year? Should your decisions change based on the first quarter or the fourth quarter? And how much more is that going to make a difference on your decisions is exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you want to hear your question answered on here, just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services for your shop? Shoot me a text at 301-307-5413. And don't forget our dedicated sponsors. If you need a new shop manager, if you need a new technician, if you need anyone in your shop, give Promotive a call and they can find the next rock star for your team. Are you tired of writing ads that don't generate one good candidate? Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your auto repair shop. Go beyond the job boards and let them find your next rock star. They do all the heavy lifting for you. Visit them online at gopromotive.com. Before we get into when you should actually be planning for taxes, the big question we got to talk about is, Hunt, what is tax planning? And so what a lot of people think when we talk about tax planning is tax minimization. When they are not the same thing, they are two different events, and generally, tax planning comes before tax minimization. You might be saying to yourself, well, Hunt, what do you mean? Why do I got to, you know, plan for this stuff? I just want to lower my taxes. If you're looking at your business, and we're going to use, you know, any number, but let's just use parts gross profit, how are you going to improve your parts gross profit, or let's say, you know, decrease it if you really think you're charging too much, if you don't know what you are currently making? And taxes are the exact same thing. If you want to minimize your taxes, I can help you do that. But neither of us can do that unless we know where your taxes currently stand. Want to get even more in on this? Some of you guys sitting here right now might not even have any tax liability. You could be making money, but maybe you already have enough deductions or previous year losses that you could be going making some decisions on some perceived benefit. Yeah, your tax rate could be 25%, but if you got a $10,000 refund and you paid in $10,000 worth of taxes, your tax rate is zero. Also, don't you think that your decisions are going to be probably changed, whether you know if these deductions are going to be used at a 10% tax bracket? Compared to some deductions at the highest level that could be worth 40 or 50 cents on the dollar. Obviously, we know that depending on how much money you make, it's going to make an impact on how you tax plan and probably when, but honestly, when you're tax planning is going to be much more of a change, and a lot of people don't realize that. The biggest thing that we want to talk about here is flipping our business and flipping how we think about taxes from a proactive nature to a reactive nature. For some of you guys that are my clients on, this is not going to be new information. This is essentially how we do tax planning for all of our clients, but it could be some useful information because a lot of this you guys don't even see. This is kind of done behind the scenes for the most part. If you go down and you're talking about this and you're saying, Hunt, none of this sounds like what my accountant's doing for me, then first and foremost, I would always go back and, you know, make sure that your accountant knows those expectations. You don't want someone that's going to be let down of saying, I didn't think that you knew or we're going to do anything based on my, you know, kind of advice on tax planning. But again, a client relationship and a relationship with your accountant is something that's strong, but sometimes needs to go back and get some pushes. If you go back to your accountant and talk about what we talked about this week and they say, we're not interested, that's not how we operate, do you need to hire me and Parmelis? No, but you do need to find another accountant. This is not something going above and beyond. If you have an accountant, this is part of their responsibility. It is not their ultimate responsibility because at the end of the day, this is your business. but your accountant is going to be your key resource to do a lot of this stuff. I'm going to be talking about topics. I'm going to be talking about decisions that I do not think that any shop owner listening to should make on their own. You need to call your accountant. You need to call a professional and talk about some of these things, because some advice works for you, some advice doesn't. And your specific situation, your specific goals here are going to make a lot bigger difference. We'll talk about that in a little bit when we get to some of the equipment purchases, about we need to have a short-term and long-term play in mind on this. But again, that is still tax minimization. We need to talk about tax plan. Like I said before, we are going to talk a little bit about tax minimization on this episode. But if you want to hear some more stuff about that, like I said, check out their webinar. We got into some of these things. Biggest thing I want to talk about this week is how you are tax planning and what your decisions and how strict or how loose they should be absolutely changes based on what time of the year you're in. So what I want to run down through is essentially a full life cycle of, you know, a shop that does taxes with us and what this looks like. And the thing about it is our first date on here is tax due date. So the famous line that I always give is tax planning should not be done on April 14th, yet it is the time that most people try to minimize their taxes. And so there is kind of a prime example of difference in planning and minimize it. Is people are like, I got my tax return, I owe a bunch of money, what can we do to reduce it? This is their first wake-up call, because if you are not doing any tax planning, this is the first time you figure out what that liability is. Now, of course, it's higher than you want, it's higher than you can afford, so you call your accountant up and you say, Hunt, get this down. What can we do to lower this? I don't have this, I don't want to pay this, whatever. Am I going to tell you that as an accountant that's been doing this for as long as I have, that I have zero tools at my disposal to minimize taxes on April 14th? No. We have some gray areas. We have some stuff that we can accrue. We have some stuff that we can deduct. There is, you know, some other administrative things that we can, but 95% of the tools to minimize taxes are not at our disposal. There's a couple things that we can do, but more or less, once you get past the end of the year, there is nothing that we can do to drastically reduce our clients' taxes in most situations. If we're saying by the time that we are in the year that we have to file these returns, we really have no way of changing those, when do you think that we should start talking about taxes? If you're thinking to yourself, well, Hunt, there's probably never too early of a time to start thinking about or planning for taxes, you're probably right. When we are doing our taxes for our clients, we are actually finishing their taxes right as we are opening up a new chapter for this upcoming year. So what has already happened for our clients is, let's say that my client decided to file his taxes on the very last day. We didn't have many people file on April 15th. We don't like to push it that close. But hypothetically, I have a client that is finishing his taxes, calling me up, and I'm talking to him on April 15th. This is how the phone call goes. So XYZ client, finished up your taxes, and I see here that we are getting a $5,000 refund, we owe $5,000, whatever the ultimate thing is. This is not going to be a surprise to my client, because again, even though I am starting the first tax plan for this upcoming year, this is probably the third, fourth, fifth, sixth time that we have talked about what this liability is going to look like. We first started talking about it last summer, we've made some changes on it, you maxed out your retirement like we talked about. And so sure, you have to owe $5,000 to the government, but this is not a surprise. This is part of our plan. Now, I'm also going to go and I'm going to talk to my client about expectations. Looking at what we're doing in third quarter, looking at what we're doing in fourth quarter, based on conversations about capital improvements you might have done or not done in the previous year, we are setting a baseline expectation of what we expect the numbers, the profit, and overall our tax position to look like in this upcoming year. Again, I want to give you guys actionable items here. I want to give you actionable steps. This should have already happened for you guys, but if it hasn't, you're kind of behind, but not very much. So what you should be doing in the first quarter is, our first estimate is due on April 15th. And the best course of action that I give you guys is, this is the least important one because we have the least amount of data to go off of. If you're a psychic, if you have a crystal ball and you know in March how much you're going to make for the rest of the year, then be my guest. You're going to have a really good tax plan. For the rest of us, we are going to have to do the best educated guess that we possibly can. My philosophy on taxes is, I would rather be conservative and find out a little bit later in the year that I don't need to pay the government as much, or maybe can stop paying them estimates, than to go the opposite and say, maybe it's not going to be this good and end up having a massive, massive liability due in the third, fourth quarter, or God forbid, on the tax return. if I'm you and I'm looking at this and I'm saying, if I think my shop is going to be reasonably the same, maybe even 10 or 15% down or 10 or 15% up, I am probably going to go with my same tax plan that I had the previous year. So if I think that my year right now is more or less going to be similar, up or down a little bit on this, if I paid in 20 grand of estimates, I'm going to plan to pay in 20 grand of estimates this year. So if you're one of our clients, you can take a look and your estimates will probably look pretty similar to last year if our expectation and more or less your expectation is that is what we know at this point. If you want to look and you want to take your March financials and you want to compare them year over year, you could see a drastic increase or a drastic decrease. My argument of even if we have a drastic increase or a drastic decrease after the first quarter, I'm just not making much decisions on this because we don't have enough data. When we look at this, if you made $30,000 through March, we're going to estimate that you are going to make $120,000 a year. If you made 60 grand through March, we're going to estimate that you're going to make 240. Very small sample size. You can see how easily you can make a decision that might or might not be the right one. As we get closer and closer to the end of the year, you can imagine that we're going to get more and more accurate. First estimate is due on April 15th. Second estimate is due on June 15th. And for most of our shops, those two estimates are probably not going to change. The situation where I would drastically increase my second quarter estimate would be as if I'm significantly outpacing my income. By the time you hear this episode, the estimated tax payment is probably going to be due, if not slightly past due on this. But again, if I am significantly ahead on this, I probably don't want to pay a ton of money into the government and end up having a downturn in the third quarter and waiting till April to get this money back. Same flip side on this is I do not want to stop paying my estimates just because I maybe had a bad second quarter. There's still 6 months of the year left. There's still too much time that could come back to burn me. If you want to say, hon, I want to be conservative on this. I'm afraid I'm going to pay some taxes in. Should I pay some extra ones in? Yes. Hon, I don't like to give the government too much extra money. Should I hang on to this money? If you can trust yourself, yes. There is arguments on both sides of this. And this is all comes down to what is going to make you feel comfortable. If you like the idea of having a refund and you don't like to sleep at night knowing that you could owe the government money, you should share that with your accountant because there is personal preference on here. I talked about this in a webinar and I'll say this again today. I have some clients that are very good with their cash and they know who they are and I know who they are. And I will give them an option. I would pay in this much, keep 40 grand set aside for taxes. I also have clients that are not as good with their cash. And again, both of them, them and I are both aware of that. And I say, let's be realistic. If you have that 40, you're going to spend it. It's probably going to be a little bit conservative, but this is going to guarantee you that you don't burn yourself come April. Let's get that money in. Be realistic with yourself. Be realistic with your accountant because this is going to change your plan based on what you'd like and what you don't like.
Are you tired of spending endless hours searching for the perfect talent to join your team? Promotive is your full-service automotive staffing solution. At Promotive, we believe in being more than just a recruiting agency. We become an extension of your team, working tirelessly to ensure we place the right talent with the right shops. With our always-be recruiting mindset, we're constantly seeking out the best professionals in the industry. We manage 90 to 95% of the recruiting process, taking the burden off your shoulders. When you partner with Promotive, you gain a dedicated recruiter and account manager who will work closely with you, understanding your unique requirements and seeking out candidates who fit seamlessly into your shop's culture. We'll ensure that every candidate we present is thoroughly vetted and aligned with your needs. With Promotive, you'll have a peace of mind knowing that we're handling the recruitment process with expertise and precision. We don't just match resumes, we match character, culture, and long-term success. Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and experience the power of Promotive's expertise and dedication. Together, we'll build a stronger and more successful team.
Between the second and third quarter, your second estimate is due in June, your third is due in September. This is your bread and butter right here. All of our clients are getting a full tax estimate, business, personal, ancillary, LLCs. We are doing almost a full tax return for our client in this period. The reason is this is when you guys are generally making your most money. The summer is busy. We now at this point have 6, 7, 8 months of financials to be able to forecast. We have so much more data of not only what the current year is looking like, but less to estimate for the rest. At this point, we're starting to make some decisions on there. I'm going to start changing estimates. If we're outpacing our estimates for the third quarter, I'm going to start changing those to truly what I think this is going to be. Whenever I'm doing my client's estimate, though, at this point, I'm still being conservative. Most of my clients want to be conservative, and from a natural tendency on it, it's a much better conversation to tell my client they own $18,000 instead of $20,000 than $22,000 instead of $20,000. To overshoot this and give a little bit extra in is generally appreciated by most small business owners. For some of my clients that have very consistent businesses, they know what the year is going to look like and they can forecast this. And really, their estimates for the most part or major changes are probably done. If you have an extremely volatile business, or if you end up having a volatile business, you know, kind of surprisingly, between September and the end of the year is when you're keeping an eye on this stuff. So when I do my clients' financials, when we do their tax planning and their tax forecasting on this, let's say my client has made $80,000 through August. I am forecasting him to be making an extra $10,000 a month and finish at around $120,000 a year. What my team does, and is something that I would be advisable for you guys, is to compare your expectations to reality. And then if you ask my team can give you that number. What do you guys estimate I'm going to make for these coming months? And then you can say, Hunt and his team are thinking I'm going to make an extra $15,000 a month. So if I have 13 here, 17 here, 14 here, this is kind of as expected. Just like we are going to get flagged. We look at this stuff already. If we're expecting you to make $15,000 a month and you lose 15 the following 2 months on it, you're probably going to have a bad phone call. That's kind of good, but you've had a bad couple months on this. Silver lining is do not pay that fourth quarter estimate. We want to keep a track on this, not making big changes other than when it's differing from our expectations. So if we look at the full cycle of this, we have a very, very rough estimate that, again, we're not going to be making a lot of changes to because there's just too many variables. That's the first part of the year. Second, third quarter, that is where we're making or breaking it. This is where we're actually seeing real results. We have less to estimate for. We have less to forecast. We have less variables. We also are making a buying decisions, purchasing, funding for 401ks, whatever. Most of the heavy lifting is done in the second and third quarter. By the time we get to the fourth quarter, again, some of these numbers are going to be trailing where you won't even finish your December until it's too late to do stuff on taxes. But fourth quarter, again, we should have done a good bit of work that we have a good bit of expectations on this that I would have to see something drastically different to, again, make me change it. Is this how it's going to work for everyone? Are you going to have something that is going to be different than this? Absolutely. But I will tell you, many, many of you, far too many of you, are doing none of this stuff. So if you're saying, well, hon, maybe I'll do a baseline this year. Maybe I'll do one tax estimate. Maybe I'll do two tax estimates because I did a little bit next year. If you are not planning for this stuff, you're not saving for it. I talk and I do a ton of episodes where I give you, well, I hope to give you actionable items. A lot of those actionable items are going to give you a better understanding and maybe in a longer sense, they're going to make you guys money. If you do what we talk about this, if we make sure that your professional team that you're working with is doing what we're talking about here, you're going to make more money or pay less taxes. Before we wrap this up, let's go into a couple examples of, again, I'm not going to talk to you about how much you can save on taxes, but I'm going to talk to you about decisions on this stuff and how it would change based on the time of the year. So let's start with your guys' most popular one is buying a vehicle. And the most common thing is, Hunt, yeah, I owe a bunch of money. I'm going to buy an F-250. We're going to get a good tax savings on that, but depending on what time of the year this is that going to change my decision? So for something like a truck or where I call that, you know, a quasi-business asset, we're going to get the benefit of that on the business, but let's be realistic. The F-250 is not going to make your business any more money than your 2001 Tacoma is. So this is something that your business is going to buy, but we can all agree that the business does not have to. Am I going to buy that in April because I think I'm going to owe some taxes this year? No. Am I going to buy that in second or third quarter if I think I'm going to need it for taxes? No. I'm going to buy that in fourth quarter if my major decision factor on there is taxes. If you are buying this for the sole reason of saving money on taxes, I'm going to almost say you need to wait till the fourth quarter. Look at what's going on in the world. Look at what we've experienced in the last couple of years. I don't think there's anyone listening to this to tell me if I think I'm going to owe money in August, then there is a guarantee that I'm going to owe money by the end of the year. It is just too much volatility on this. Now, if you print money and you're like, "Hunt, I'm going to pay tax no matter what on this," or you're the other opposite of saying, "Hunt, I want this truck," then again, take it out of the picture. You need to have taxes be part of your decision-making process, but they are one of the worst ways to make a decision. The way that I look at any sort of purchases, whether it's a truck or equipment like we're going to talk about in a second, is there a business purpose to this? That is the only thing that I'm asking. If the answer is yes, then I'm going to talk about taxes. I'm going to weigh that into my decision. If it does not make business sense, it never makes tax sense. Period. End of story. Let's talk about something else, though. The most common thing that you guys buy is vehicles, which generally don't pay for themselves because they're not an income-generating asset other than things like tow trucks. But equipment. You guys don't want to pay the government, so you say, "Hunt, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy equipment." My advice for you guys is exactly the same if that equipment is done for tax purposes. I'd rather, you know, minimize the amount I'm paying to the government and just buy some tools that I don't really need, but at some point I might want to. So if that's the case, and this is, again, quasi-frivolous or maybe not as urgent, then wait till the fourth quarter. It's not going to give you any value by getting any earlier. And if you're only doing this for taxes, let's make sure that we have tax liability. But if you're saying to yourself, "No, Hunt, this equipment is going to generate me money," then why would you ever wait? Remember, you are doing this and hopefully making this decision because it's the best thing for your business. So if this piece of equipment is going to be able to generate me money today, then why am I going to wait to the end of the year to see if I have tax liability or not? I'm going to buy this piece of equipment no matter what because it's going to make me money. If I get to use the benefit taxes this year, great. If I get to use it next year, I know that I'm going to still get that benefit. It's just a matter of when. The last example on here that we're going to talk about is retirement. And if you want to check out that webinar, like I keep on mentioning, it is my favorite tax deduction out there. You are getting tax deduction for putting money in your own pocket. There's only a couple other things that can say that same thing. The difference on retirement is you can't decide that you don't like that retirement plan and go trade it into CarMax and get your cash out. For most of you that are young, retirement, simple IRA, 401k are a one-way street. If I put money into a retirement account, I'm going to get a tax deduction for that retirement account. If I take that money out next year, I'm going to pay tax on that money and a 10% penalty if I am not at full retirement age. Retirement is a little bit differently because I kind of treat this very similar to trucks, but a little bit different because I feel like everyone should be planning for their retirement in some capacity. So what I recommend to my clients is there should be a baseline that you look at, kind of like the same business purpose is, if I'm serious about my retirement, there is a baseline I should commit to myself financially and personally to putting in there. I think that any business out there doing a decent amount in sales can commit to putting $5,000 into their retirement account. It's $100 a week. If that's a big issue, then I would argue that the issue is something beyond that. If you are confident that you're going to make a ton of money and you have the cash to do this, then max it out and do it throughout the year. It's going to be a lot easier for your cash flow. But let's say you're trying to catch up on some retirement dollars. I don't want to see you put all 20 of that in there and then become cash poor and have to take that out and get penalized. So the most common strategy for my clients on the retirement aspect is we're going to pay in, like I said, $1,000 a quarter, $100 a week, $50 a paycheck, whatever you want to do, but have some baseline in there. There's no reason to not put any money into retirement, you know, if you're self-employed. What that does give us, though, is it gives us a very, very good tax planning for fourth quarter. Depending on what kind of retirement you have, you probably have another $10,000 to $20,000 that you could fund into that retirement account if it makes sense. So what a lot of my clients do is they say, "Hunt, I put $5,000 in there. Year was terrible. I'm broke, running out of money on it. I'm not going to fund a retirement anymore. $5,000 I put in was fine." On the other side of it, I got a guy that just blew it out of the water. "Hunt, I need every deduction that we have under the sun on it. I put $5,000 in. Perfect. Let's max it out. Maybe we're going to put your spouse on and max it out. Maybe we're going to put your kids on and max it out." But we have an annual limit for retirement. It does not matter if you fund that simple IRA on January 1st or December 31st. It's still going to count for a contribution for this year. So if you don't get any benefit by putting this in early and you do have a downside possibly on it, then why try and accelerate this? You have a different strategy that works for you? Then do it. You don't have a strategy at all? Try this one first. like I said before, is all of this going to lower your taxes? You're probably expecting me to say no, but it absolutely will. Show me one person that didn't plan for their taxes and actually paid more taxes once they started planning for this, forecasting this, minimizing it, and adjusting it. What does all this mean? If this all makes sense to you, then you are probably doing just fine. If this is all new information to you, then that is probably costing you real money, whether you know it or not. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a future episode, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Just want to say thanks again for listening on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listing apps. So thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.